So in the short term, WEAC's plan to redistrict schools in the city of Wilmington will officially be paused in the very near future, correct?
That is almost certain to occur. The commission is scheduled to have its next meeting on July 26th. The chairman, Tony Allen, has already sent out a notice to the members of the commission that he is going to call officially for implementation of the plan to be suspended at that time.
And it's fair to say the bottom line with all this, the suspension and the issues that this plan has faced throughout the process, including with the state legislature at the end of session, is funding. No one along the way, it seems, certainly not the legislators on June 30th, wanted to be the ones to say, here's $7, $8 million, go ahead, at least not without some assurances how that money would be spent and it would actually be enough to do the job.
You're absolutely right. The money, as is so often the case, is quite literally the bottom line. And right now, with the condition of the state budget, the money wasn't there for this year. There's certainly some doubts as to whether it's going to be there next year either. The dollar amounts here that we're talking about have been somewhat of a moving target. Early on in the spring, they were talking $6 million to add new weighted funding systems for children in poverty, for English language learners, and for special education children in kindergarten through third grade. They started at six. By the time late spring and early summer rolled around, the number was up in the neighborhood of $9 million. So this is going back and forth, and there's also the question of how much money is needed to add some of this weighted funding, additional programming in Kent and Sussex County. And that's, yet another one of the political issues that surrounds what's going on right now.
And I would imagine that moving target is part of the reason why some had this trepidation about fully approving the plan. So what does WEAC do to address this funding question between now and January when lawmakers return to work?
Well, the key thing that they have to do is work with two particular groups of legislators. One, those in the House and the Senate who represent the areas that are included in the Red Clay School District, and secondly, a much larger group, those who represent both Kent and Sussex counties. There are two separate issues here. For Red Clay, and those legislators, their constituents, the issue is a fear that if the state does not come up with enough money to get this redistricting and program the Strength in Wilmington Schools up and running properly, if there's not enough money there coming from the state, then Red Clay taxpayers, the suburban Red Clay taxpayers, fear that they're going to be forced to shoulder the burden. In the case of the downstate legislators, and we've talked about this a bit before, I mean, in the old-fashioned political sense, it's a little bit of the where's mine philosophy, but the fact is that there are significant numbers of kids living in poverty, of English language learners, of children with special education needs in Kent and Sussex counties. The numbers there are almost as significant as those in the greater Wilmington area. So they want assurances that they're going to be taken care of too, that all this money is not going to go just to Wilmington and in particular to Red Clay. The commission added funding, a proposed adding funding to set up pilot programs with the weighted additional money in one district in Kent and one district in Sussex. That didn't quite make it, obviously. So what's going on next is the commission is going to have to reach out to these two groups of legislators, clarify the issues, and give the Kent and Sussex legislators a better understanding of how this program is going to work, how the additional funding would be phased in for them. And In terms of the red clay situation, Dan Rich, who's the staff director of WEAC, says he believes that really the General Assembly can put language in the legislation that would prevent or preclude red clay taxpayers from getting hit with any additional burden. Of course, that brings you to the much larger question. The only way to do that is to make sure that there is sufficient state funding so that red clay doesn't get hit. Yeah.
Which is my next point. You mentioned in your piece, Governor Markell has said he'll recommend $7.5 million be put in the 2018 budget for this issue. But he leaves in January. And is there any indication that the next governor will be on board with this this plan or this idea of funding that Governor Markell is putting out there? And I guess even if that were the case, as you mentioned, the budget's going to be probably even tighter this year based on DFAC revenue estimates. Lawmakers could just say, well, that's nice, but we're not doing that.
Well, that's absolutely the case. I mean, you saw that this time around in this spring, Governor Markell put $6 million in the budget for the additional programming that WEAC was recommending. And it was very, very easy for the Joint Finance Committee to knock out that $6 million. So as for the $7 million and Governor Markell not being around after January, well, who knows? I did look at Carney's platform that he posted on his website this week, and I looked at the education page, and there's absolutely no reference there to anything specific about funding for WEAC. So we don't know where John Carney, who was certainly the likely Democratic nominee and the odds-on favorite to be the next governor, we really don't know where he's going to stand. And I think we know by reputation Senator Colin Bonini, the likely Republican candidate. He, in his time in the Senate, he has never voted in favor of a state budget. So that tells you something, too.
We mentioned the constituencies within the General Assembly that WEAC has to look at. Are there any other constituencies that the commission needs to work with to perhaps move this forward, or who could help make this happen a little bit more easily?
Well, I think first of all, let me mention one that they really don't have to deal with very much anymore, and that's the State Board of Education. The way the process was set up, the State Board gave its approval to the WEAC plan in March, and they really have no role going forward other than to receive quarterly progress reports from WEAC. So the State Board is not an issue. As far as other constituencies are concerned, I think the greatest concern here, and one potential strength that WEAC has is that, you know, there are all sorts of big nonprofits and lobbying professional associations that have put their stamp of approval on the WEAC plan as it was moving forward. You know, we're talking United Way and the Chambers of Commerce, all those sorts of things, and those groups really, other than signing on to the document, really haven't done much in terms of throwing their weight around in Dover, buttonholing legislators and the like. So I said a couple of months ago that if they really wanted to get this plan through this time, those organizations were going to have to step up to the plate. They haven't done that yet, but in 2017, in the next legislative session, maybe it's going to be time for them to do so and say a little bit more.
And then there's WEAC's work beyond redistricting. We talk a lot about the redistricting, but it has a much broader mission than just moving kids from one district to another. Specifically, they've talked about school funding in general, some other issues. Is all that now also very much on the back burner?
To some extent, it's on the back burner. I mean, the next thing that WEAC has to do in the next 6 months is come up with this fiscal impact projection so that the legislators have a much better understanding of what's going to happen what's likely to happen to school finances at the state level, at Red Clay and at Christina, once you move students around, move the buildings from one district to another, see which buildings are going to need renovations, perhaps, or how this may change transportation arrangements. I mean, I suspect busing costs will probably go down a little bit because it's a shorter trip from Wilmington to McCain, for example, than it is out to Glasgow, but. There are those issues that will have to be dealt with in the next 6 months, and that does again push back the some of the larger questions. Certainly, one of the big issues that is developed here is the whole need for school reform, not a school finance reform. It's not a new issue in Delaware, but it's one that where the can has been kicked down the road probably for 10 years, maybe longer than that, and WEAC has brought the need for finance reform to a head, illuminated many of the needs. So that's going to be next. Not necessarily next, but certainly a little bit down the road. The fiscal projections for what's going to happen in the short term are more important, as an immediate concern than resolving the thorny issues that nobody in Dover ever seems to have quite the will or the gumption to attack head on.
And finally, there's another thing looming here, and that is those who are not willing to wait for change. County Councilman Jay Street is leading the charge to file a lawsuit against the state, saying laws the state has passed over the last 20 years have essentially resegregated schools in New Castle County. Where does that stand?
Well, it stands right now in the pending category. I talked to Jay Street earlier this week. He says, I've got a timetable, but I'm not going to talk about it. Eventually, I'm going to stop talking and the lawyers will do the talking. So he's putting together a coalition of organizations. He hasn't indicated precisely who they are. He's going to have to find plaintiffs. He says this is going to be a class action suit of some sort, which means several individuals who believe that they have been wronged by the outcomes of the three significant pieces of legislation are going to have to step forward and put their names on the suit. We're talking here about school choice legislation, the Charter Schools Act and the Neighborhood Schools Act, which was passed in 2000. The first two were in 1996. And It's going to be interesting to see what goes on there. I mean, I was around Delaware in the 70s and wrote extensively on the original desegregation case. I see what we have here now, and Jay Street, there's little reason to dispute his contention that the segregation is in many respects more significant now than it was then. Certainly the legal standards have changed over the last 20 years and how the courts have looked at questions concerning segregation in public education. But the numbers certainly suggest, and the pattern of state action certainly suggests that a lot of what's happened here recently, meaning the last 20 years, bears some parallels to what got the state into some constitutional violations in 1968 when it passed the Educational Advancement Act.